Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. How are you? And welcome to the Zurian Show. I want to thank you, as always, for listening and for giving us your time. We truly appreciate having you, and we hope that the information that we share is useful to everybody that's listening and useful to everybody that is basically presently hearing the sound of my voice, be it that you're listening to a live show or you're listening to a pre-recorded show or a recorded show. Today we're going to talk about having command of the language and how that can bring you great success. Having command of the English language, or the language that you speak, preferably in this particular case we're going to be mostly talking about the English language, is a key component to finding success and finding success in your life and the things that you do. Please understand that not everybody is a writer. Not everybody is a speaker. We understand that. But being able to share information and get that information across in a clear method, and also one of the key things in getting it across in a clear method, is getting it across in a way that the individual listener can actually understand, something that they can use as a point of reference, or something where you're giving them clues to give them points of reference as you guide them through the road to communication, or to the communication in which you're trying to give them. I noticed that a lot of us have a tendency to communicate in our own speak. We don't, how does they say, and I don't mean to sound insulting, we don't dumb it down enough for everybody else to understand what we're saying. You know, if you're using words that are, you know, 20 syllable words or things along that nature, you're not really communicating to everybody in that room. You may be impressing one or two people, and if that's your goal, that's fine. You're impressing those one or two people. However, what you are doing is you're ostracizing the rest of those people that are in the room because you're not communicating to them. And in order for you to have communication, it has to be a two-way street. The person that you're speaking to needs to understand what you're saying, not trying to figure out what you're saying, or not trying to, I like to use the example of the king's new clothes. You know, they're agreeing, but they're really not understanding or saying a word that you're understanding, a word that you're saying. So since they're not understanding you, you're really not communicating to them. You're basically talking to that small little fashion or fraction of people that are in the room that understand what that extremely large word that you just used meant. So, in the point of communication and communicating effectively, that's one of the keys. Again, in the point of communicating effectively, you're dropping the ball, and you're dropping the ball greatly. You're also ostracizing yourself in a weird kind of way, because now you've got people that aren't going to want to talk to you or aren't going to want to deal with you because they're going to assume that you're going to talk over them. So you can't talk over people. You know, you look at the newspaper. The newspaper is at like a third or fifth grade level. Why? Because that level of speak, not that it's unintelligent or anything like that, but that level of speak communicates and reaches the most people effectively. And that information gets conveyed, or it gets sent or transmitted to more people that can actually respond to the information given and use the information given. You know, in the write-up I talked about William Shakespeare. Well, William Shakespeare had a very strong command of the language. He also had an acute insight into human nature, and from that he was able to basically create speak that is not really up to date in our time, but it's still admired and looked at, and he left a literary legacy with what he did. And again, you know, everybody thinks of William Shakespeare and they think of this greatly educated man. Actually, he had a lack of formal education, but what he was able to do is he was able to demonstrate his amazing gift of language and transmitting thought, or his thoughts, through his plays and his poems and his tragedies and his comedies. And he also was able to do that about the human condition, so that even today we don't speak like William Shakespeare, millions of people to this day still quote his quotes, his plays, his movies. Some of those movies have been turned around, and it's the same William Shakespeare play, but it's been put into a modern context. It's been put into a more up-to-date context. So those stories are being told again and again and again. So, again, William Shakespeare had an outstanding way of communicating. His ability to communicate with people that were above his level, you know, or had quite more education than him, or had less education than him, he was still able to get that information across. And today, his work continues to entertain and instruct. His characters live on in the standards of English and English culture, and William Shakespeare has earned his place in literary history because of his ability to communicate. Now, in the original write-up, I talked about the fact that, you know, education is very important, but if you can communicate, sometimes you can overshadow that formal education. Now, when I say that education isn't necessarily important, I'm not necessarily just talking about a book education. You know, there was also a reference in there where I said that, you know, if you have a formal education, you can earn a living. But if you have a practical education, you know, if you have an education that transcends time and space, so to speak, you know, if you have an informal education, you can also create a fortune. So a formal education will earn you a living, all right, but an informal education will earn you a fortune. And your ability to communicate, again, is key with everyone. It doesn't matter their race. It doesn't matter their culture. It doesn't matter any of those things. But first off, remember, sometimes you have to dumb it down without making the person or people that you're communicating with feel as though you're trying to talk down to them, which is basically just talking in plain everyday English, you know, not talking like I said, with a bunch of words that only a small group of people are going to comprehend and are going to be able to understand and use so that they can move forward. The goal to communication is to convey a particular thought or convey information, be it that information is an emergency type of information or just informative and good to know. So when we communicate, we all need to understand that there's a difference in what communication is to different people. There's different levels of importance to different people as to what one person sees important to another, and also in the way that we're raised. A lot of these things happen from when we're kids. You know, our parents communicated a certain way, or our parents didn't communicate, you know, in some particular areas, you know, for some people, depending on what they grew up with. But either way, that communication kind of sets the tone for how most of us communicate today. Now, what I'm saying is, too, that we also need to be open and understand that just because we're saying something or just because somebody's hearing us doesn't mean that they're understanding, doesn't mean that they're grasping. So every now and then you have to come back and kind of repeat what was either told to you or what you said, and ask for input as you deal with people and as you go to convey that information. Again, not to the point to where it's insultive, but to the point to where you're communicating to everyone in the room and you have a good idea that the majority of the room is understanding what you're saying. You know, I have a tendency to, when somebody tells me something, especially if it's somebody that I know kind of goes back and forth, you know, they're kind of all over the place with their thoughts, and it's not because they're stupid, it's because they're so intelligent, sometimes they're 20 steps ahead of you or me. So anyway, what I'll do sometimes is I'll repeat what that person said to me to make sure that I grasp it, and that's the way that I convey it. I convey it to the extent of, hold on, let me make sure that I'm understanding what you said. So you're telling me that you would like to do this, 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 and this. Sometimes people are so far ahead of you that they kind of skip a step. So if they skip a step and they communicated something incorrectly to you, what you are now doing is you're giving them a chance to rehear what they've already heard and what you've heard and understand that you have a particular perception as to what they said, and you told them what your perception is, and now that gives them the opportunity to make the correction. If you heard something wrong, if they said something wrong but don't believe that they said something wrong or conveyed it incorrectly, now you've given that individual a chance to adjust it, to make the correction, to then re-explain what they meant, or to rethink what they thought that they said and say it in a way that is going to convey the correct information, thought, all of the above. Men and women, we have a tendency to communicate in different ways. Women are more, we'll say, intuitive. Women have a tendency to kind of have an idea what we're going to say before we say it. You're a lot more proactive sometimes in your communication. However, men are more reactive in their communication. They're also more perfect, positioned to, you need to tell the man what you want. You cannot assume, we're purpose-driven. You cannot assume that man is going to read your mind. If you assume that man is going to read your mind, you're setting yourself up for failure. You're setting yourself up for aggravation. You're setting him up for aggravation, because most men are just not wired that way. Most men are like, well, if you want to do something, let me know what you want to do, then we will do it. You know, if you have a particular thought, you need to share that thought, and then you need to get that feedback. You need to have that exchange of intercommunication between the two of you. If you're talking to a man, ladies, and you don't get that intercommunication back from that man, more than likely your message will be missed. More than likely, what you believe and perceive occurred in that conversation, in that man's mind, I'm not saying that it didn't happen, ladies, but what I'm saying is that in that man's mind, that communication link, there wasn't a connect. Basically, you sent out a transmission, all right, but the receiver didn't get the whole transmission. The receiver only got part of the transmission, or in some cases, the receiver didn't get the transmission in the first place. So in order for you to convey that information, you need to get that feedback. It's that same feedback that we were talking about. Are you going to handle a particular bill? Yes, I'm going to go and handle it. When are you going to handle it? Oh, I'm going to go ahead and take care of that tomorrow. Oh, I'm going to take care of that today. Okay, now we've got an agreement. We both know that there's a bill that's going to be paid, and that bill is going to be paid at this time. Now, guys, what you need to understand is that women, again, communicate differently from men. So sometimes what you're going to need to do, without trying to be an ogre about it, is you're going to have to come back to that young lady and say, listen. Okay, not listen, but you're going to have to say, okay, that bill that you said that you were going to take care of yesterday, you know, were you able to take care of that? Then she'll say yes or she'll say no. Women, you need to do the same thing for men. We have a tendency to forget. Our priorities are the same, but the way that we reach those priorities are different. This way, both of you are giving each other reminders, you're giving each other's clues, you're getting an update, you're getting a status, all right, and you're moving forward instead of trying to do a point the finger blame thing. Okay, ladies, guys, let me explain something to you really quickly. It is irrelevant who is at fault, especially if you're a married couple. You're both responsible for that bill, all right? It's not about blame. This is about finding a particular thing, fixing that thing, and then moving on to the other thing. Don't bring the negative into it. Ladies, don't take it personal. Guys, don't take it personal. We are talking about communication. We are talking about living a better, richer, and fuller life. You cannot live a better, richer, and fuller life in the past. If something didn't get taken care of, let's get it taken care of. Now we can move on to the next obstacle, the next thing, the next difficulty that needs to be taken care of, and then we can conquer that. But if we're so busy trying to argue the points, we're not going to get there. So we need to address the points that we need to address. We need to communicate clearly. We need to make sure that the message has been given across. We need to make sure that the audience that we're talking to understands what we're saying and that we're talking in a level where everybody or the most people in the room can understand. We need to repeat sometimes that what it is that we've said, and we need to ask questions to get confirmation that the message in which we're trying to disseminate is being disseminated and is being taken in correctly by the person receiving it. Another problem or another concern when we talk about communication, that concern is self-talk. If a person is talking and you are trying to formulate your answer to what they're saying before they have finished saying it, you are not listening to what they are saying. If you're not listening to what they are saying, then that means you're missing points. You're not hearing what they have to say. Okay? We all do this. We all have this particular malady that we seem to suffer from. When a person is talking, do yourself and that person, do that person the courtesy and the justice of listening to whatever it is that they have to say. Then once you've listened to that, give yourself a moment to understand, to digest the information that's being given. Don't try to take a stand before you've heard the whole story. All right? Don't try to take a position before it's time. It's before your time to get into position. Don't try to argue the conversation. Have just that, a conversation. You need to, again, I've said this a billion times, you have two ears and one mouth. Stop trying to answer that person's question before they finished answering the question. Stop trying to assume that someone is accusing you of something that they are not accusing you of. Stop taking a defensive position when no position needs to be taken. Also, for a lot of you, please understand that your families, just like your significant others, are not perfect. If a person that cares about you tells you about somebody else that's doing something or tells you about something else that's wrong, understand that that person may be telling you because they care. And if you cut that person off at the knees because they're talking about your mother, your sister, your brother, you know, your son, your daughter, you may end up cutting yourself off at the knees in the long run, because the next time that something comes up with that individual, they're going to be that much more leery to share information that you really might want to hear. They're going to be that much leerier to not want to give you information out of fear that there may be repercussions or that there may be some outburst to what you're trying to explain to them. And you knowing that you're doing it with no altruistic or no alternative, ulterior motives is great. But if they perceive it that way and then act that way, you're limiting your ability for future communications and future good communications. The same thing is true with you people that for the internet and things like that, you are what I call the BCC kings and BCC queens. Ladies and gentlemen, electronic devices are a beautiful thing, and they have definitely reduced the time that we have to spend on communicating with other people. However, I would suggest, don't have to listen to this if you don't like to, that for those of you that are the email kings and queens, because you're going to be the captains of industry and all of those things, please understand that I can't read a tone into most emails. I can read a tone into it, but I can't see the real tone. I can't know what mindset you were in when you sent that email. That email is generic, okay? Unless you put the emphasis in the email, I have no idea whether you were happy, sad, upset, not upset, being a smart aleck, not being a smart aleck, or just meaning to share this information with me, or this is a critical thing that I need to do, especially if your emails are just kind of vanilla, okay? Take the time on occasion to call people up. Let them know how you're doing. Let them know where you stand. Let them know what's on your mind. Sometimes it's just a friendly interaction. That is going to help your ability to communicate. That is going to help your ability to network, especially if you're a supervisor or a manager. If you're dealing with everybody via email, all right, the text messages and things like that, and you're not putting the funny faces or the frowny faces or the extra things in your email, they're not going to get the full message. Email communicates about 50% of the communication. Well, guess what? If you miss 10% of the communication, that could be very detrimental to you in many ways, on a business level and on a personal level. If you're not communicating with this person, you know, via some phone calls or occasional visits, you're missing the bus. You're setting yourself up for sabotage. You're ruining a relationship that could be a great relationship, be it on a social level or be it on a financial level, because now that person has more of an idea. And for all of you people that are in positions, understand that what management is management takes away your ability to communicate less in person, because now you need to communicate more in person. And I know a phone call isn't in person. However, a phone call is more personal. Okay? The other thing that I'd like to talk about is ignorance. We've got a lot of people that communicate, especially a lot of you young people, and you communicate and you use half a word, you're used to texting and stuff like that, and you're trying to save texts and you shorten things up and you make them smaller and all of that stuff, and you use words that convey your being upset, but those words are inappropriate. Stop using them, okay? If you need to send an email or a text message, send the email, send the text message. Not everybody is up to the little short codes on your text messages. And when I say the short codes, I'm talking about, you know, duh. You know, I'm talking about how you put you is fine. You know, R U, capital U, I understand that. But some of the ones that are a little bit more elaborate, there's a lot of people that don't understand what they mean. Also, and you might say that that's their being ignorant. No, that's not their being ignorant. That's them being from a different time. And you also need to please look at the words that you use when you communicate. If you look at the media like Facebook and sometimes text messaging, they're very vulgar. They're very negative. They're very counterproductive. They are great, again, for that little bubble that you live in, that little group that you work with. And when I say work with, I'm talking about usually on a personal level, because Facebook is pretty much personal. It's really not business. It is, but, you know, not to the extent of its social media power. Stop using the F word. Stop using the N word. Stop using, you know, mother this and son of a who and the B word, you know, the female dog word. Get rid of those words. Throw them out of your dictionary. Remember, anything that does not help you and does not serve you, you need to get rid of. Anything that's not going to help you to become a better person, become a better communicator, become a better orator, you know, become a better writer. Those are things that don't help you. And by removing them, you're only going to help yourself. You know, if you want to go back to William Shakespeare, he says that ignorance is the curse of God. Knowledge is the wings beneath. We fly to heaven. Okay? That's showing a strong level of ignorance when every other word out of your mouth or several of the words out of your mouth are MF and F this and son of a B and these B's and those N's and all of that other stuff. You're robbing yourself. You're stealing from yourself. Okay? And you're not helping yourself grow, and you're not helping yourself develop. Find another word. You know, my an older gentleman out of the Virginia area, he didn't like the curse, so he came up with dog shigget. Dog shigget. I love it. Because I'm not cursing. I'm still expressing upsetness or my irritation. However, I'm not using a word, and it's, at this point, it's kind of cute. It doesn't have all those other things in it. He just says dog shigget. What does dog shigget mean? It means nothing. However, it's just a word that went out. Another friend that I know was telling me that his niece was upset, and her mother gets very upset if she curses or uses foul language. So the girl was really upset. She couldn't curse. So she said, you know, the bleeping bleep and the bleep bleep and the bleepity bleep bleep. And it was kind of cute. Now, should it be something that you send out on an email or Facebook? No, it's something that if you're going to do, you probably want to do it in person. And the person that you're doing it to needs to be a friend and somebody that you could communicate with like that. But it's not something that's sent out on the broadband. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I think one of the things is that we have a reputation to take the easy way out. Very few of us take the road less traveled. And I think we need to look into the road less traveled a little bit more. We need to look into doing things that are actually going to help us and not things because everybody else is doing it that way. Communications is the same key. You cannot scrimp on your communications. Again, you don't have to be the best writer to be a good communicator. You don't have to be the best speaker to be a good communicator. You just need to get the point across, get the feeling across, get the emotion across, and make sure that when you are communicating, you are also communicating the intent. A lot of times, most of us have no idea what the intent is. We don't understand. Also, those of us that get messages, you need to stop before you type. You need to think before you type. And I'm not saying a misspelled word. That will happen. That's not a problem. What I'm talking about is before you act, before you react, you need to think about your reaction. You need to think about the repercussions of your action and what that action is going to do and what position it's going to put you in if you take that particular course when you go to do what you're going to do. Again, communication is simple as long as you're willing to learn and communicate correctly. This really isn't a class on communication. This is a conversation. And this conversation is on how you can make your communications better, how you can use the example of somebody like William Shakespeare, who wasn't the greatest orator, who didn't really have a formal education. There is greatness within all of us, true greatness. Don't be afraid of your greatness. For some people, that greatness is born. For others, that greatness is achieved. And for even more, that greatness is thrusted upon them. If greatness is thrusted upon you, be ready. Be in the position to take hand of it. If you're born with greatness, which I don't believe anybody is, but if you're born with greatness, then you need to understand that with great responsibility, much is owed. All right? And if you're put in a position where you find that you have to achieve, you're not only achieving for you, you're achieving for everybody that can see you and everybody that's talking to you and everybody that's in your particular window. So, again, step up. Step out of your circle. Open your mind, open your feeling, and communicate openly. If something's bothering you, don't let it get to the point to where you're a boiling pot. Also understand that each person perceives what you're saying or what you're doing differently. Be open and accepting to how they communicate. Be open and accepting to understanding that you may not truly be communicating correctly yourself and make the necessary adjustments. It's going to improve your life. It's going to improve your relationship. Now, if I could just talk right? It's going to improve your life. It's going to improve your relationship. It's going to improve so many things for you that it's all positive instead of those negatives. Throw the negative out. Change your circle, okay, and change your thoughts. Ladies and gentlemen, again, it's always a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you very much for your time and your patience. And I truly appreciate you listening to The Zurian Show. Please share this with anybody and everybody that you think can benefit from it. And let's communicate effectively and let's grow and learn together. Take care and be well.